What is the reason why Jacob gave the instruction how he is going to be buried? Not in the place of Egypt, but in the place of the promised land. Anybody know the answer? What is the reason why Jacob gave the instruction to his people, to his children, not to bury him in Egypt? He died in Egypt, but not burying him in Egypt, but burying him with his forefather. And so we pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we gather together to study your word, I pray that you give us the wisdom as to what to do before we pass away. What to say to our children so that our children will receive the same kind of blessing that we receive from the Lord. And I pray that you open our eyes that we can see, our ears that we can hear, and cleanse our heart so that we can receive what you have told us and remember it and put it into practice, and so that we can pass on the blessing to our children and the children after us. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. So, Jean, could you read that? Remember the first question? The first question is, what is the reason why Jacob gave this special instruction as to his burial place? Genesis chapter 49 talk about the what will happen to Israel children in days to come. And after Jacob gave them this instruction, and then he gave a further instruction as to what to do regarding his body. So read that in Genesis chapter 49 all the way to 33. See whether you can answer the question. Genesis chapter 49 verse 29 to 30. The question is, what is the reason why Jacob gave his children instruction as to his burial place? Why not just you die in Egypt, bury in Egypt? You know? Why has to be buried in the promised land?
Then he gave them these instructions. I am about to be gathered to my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave in the field of Ephron the Hittite, the cave in the field of Machpelah near Mamre in Canaan, which Abraham bought as a burial place from Ephron the Hittite, along with the field. There Abraham and his wife Sarah were buried. There Isaac and his wife Rebekah were buried, and there I buried Leah. The field and the cave in it were bought from the Hittites. When Jacob had finished giving instructions to his sons, he drew his feet up onto the bed, breathed his last, and was gathered to his people.
So anybody want to give a try? The wisest man? Joshua? Okay, then you give me the answer. You're not the wiser then. Okay. Then tell me the answer. I mean, you know, put it this way. Blessing his children is very, very important. He did that. And but then he gave one more instruction as to his burial place. Verse 33, when Jacob has finished giving instructions to his son, he drew his feet up into the bed, breathe his last, and gather to his people. And he passed away. So that means his instruction regarding his burial place, it is very important. You know, if we read the scripture and do not understand that, then we are wasting our time. You know, like, he didn't say, oh, I hide, you know, in those days, they don't have a what you call safety deposit box. Now, you know, so, you know, if you have money in the safety deposit box, at least you're going to tell your children, I get some money in TD Bank, right? And here's the key. And you can get some money out of there, right? Am I right? He didn't talk about his treasure. He talked about his burial place. That means it's very, very important. Anybody get the answer? Donald get the answer? Speak louder. I'm recording now. You think you have the answer? Okay, good. Tell me the answer. Bury me with my father.
Is it because God promised, like, initially Abraham was tested with Isaac, so he blessed him and said he'd have a lot of descendants, and, like, basically if they're going to all be scattered, then it's not one, like, big nation. And then also in chapter 46, when Jacob first went to Egypt, God said, don't worry, like, I'll bring you back to the promised land. So that's why he had to make sure that he was buried back in the promised land as well, so that everybody would end up going back there when God's, like, promise was fulfilled.
Well, Hannah is getting wiser and wiser, you know? I mean, she called me on Sunday. I didn't even get home from prayer meeting. You know, she asked me Bible question. And, how blessed is your boyfriend, you know, to have a godly woman like that. Oh, man. Well, getting there, close, but I want some certain key word. Don't just read the Bible. I want you to understand it, say it in your own word. What is the main reason that he has to mention his burial place right after what will happen to his children? So Joshua? Okay, tell me what? Tell me that. So by mentioning the burial place, that means he recalls what God has promised. Mm-hmm. Brother and sister, I would like to remind you one thing. Whatever the Lord has promised you from day one until you die, make sure you pass on this kind of blessing, this kind of promises to your children. Because God promised us what? In Exodus chapter 20, in the second commandment of the Ten Commandments, if you love the Lord and obey His command, the Lord will keep His promise to you until 1,000 generations. In other words, if you, just like Jacob, obey God's word, like his father, Isaac obeys God's word, like his forefather, Abraham obeyed God's word. And God promised Abraham. Abraham passed it to Isaac. Isaac passed it to Jacob. Jacob now, at the very end, he say, bury me in the promised land. Because we won't stay in Egypt for long. We only stay in here temporary. Just like in Genesis chapter 15 say, only the fourth generation. Total, only 400 years. You understand? Now it's just the beginning. Now it's the beginning of 400 years. So after 400 years, we will move back. Right? We will move back. So in other words, what should we say before we pass away? Make sure whatever you receive from God, whatever the promises that you have from God, okay, the blessing, make sure you pass it on. That kind of treasure is better than silver and gold. God's word, God's promise to you is better than silver and gold. So you better remind your children, that is what God. And because God promised Isaac, because God promised Abraham. You understand? You got that? That is more important than telling your children where the money you have hid or you have deposited. They already know? What do you mean? So don't, you're not going to steal them before they die, okay? Leave them alone, okay? Okay. Okay. And, Jean, did you get that? So what will you do when you die? So what have you learned today in Genesis chapter 49 and chapter 50? What will you say to your children? Your blessing?
No. Pass on what God has given me to my children.
Yeah. So first of all, I want you to read Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Verse 5. You shall not bow down to them, to idol, or false God, or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the father to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. Who hate me, that means disobey God. Okay? Verse 6. But God will sow his love, sowing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandment. Abraham keep his commandment, keep God's commandment. Isaac keep God's commandment. Now Jacob keep God's commandment. Because Jacob know that his children will return back to the promised land. We just stay in Egypt for four generations, for 400 years, temporary. In the same way, I would like to remind you, before you pass away, you better let your children know. We only stay on earth for a short period of time. That is not our real place. So where, I won't tell my daughter Joyce to bury me back to Hong Kong or North. So you tell your children, bury your parents in mainland China. That's not the main thing. Doesn't matter how you bury me, but if I'm not dying in Hong Kong, don't use the funeral of cremation, like burning it. I don't want to be burned. Okay? I want to be buried in a coffin in the ground. I was made by dust. I come back to become dust. So as long as you bury me, doesn't matter how expensive the coffin is, you know, can be a cheap one, doesn't matter. Where I'm going to be buried, as for me, is not important. But as for Jacob, it's important because they have the promise. Abraham received a promise from God that their descendant will stay in that place for only 400 years, four generations. But my promise, the promise that I receive from God is, I only stay here on this place, on earth, for a short period of time. When Jesus Christ comes back, we will go back to heaven. You understand? So it doesn't matter. You have to remind your children, don't cry, we will see each other again. That is very, very important. Do you understand? So what else have we learned? When you die, about to die, make sure you tell your children what God has promised us. God promised to give us eternal life. God promised us that we have, if we fight a good fight, run the good race, and kept our faith, we will have a crown of righteousness on our head. I want you to tell your children, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 to 8. Read that. And pass it on to your children, and let your children know this is the blessing we have from God. So now you finish the race, you run your race already, you finish your job, and ask your children to continue to fight the battle, okay? To preach the gospel. And by doing so, we will receive a crown of righteousness. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 to 8. Jean, could you read that?
I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing.
At what time did Paul say that? In verse 6, he is about to die. That's the promise God given it to him. And Paul saying in here, this promise, not only to me, but also to all, including Chinese, who have longed for his appearance. Make sure you pass along to your children, Jesus Christ will come back the second time. They will take us to heaven. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I want you to write it down. Right beside Genesis chapter 49. At the end of 49, talk about the death of Jacob. Right beside the death of Jacob. You write down 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 6 all the way to 8. Paul saying that, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering. And the time has come for my departure. Departure means exodus. Exodus means I'm leaving the earthly place. Leaving Egypt. Okay? He know that. He's about to die now. So what did he say? I have fought the good fight. What kind of good fight that he's fighting? Preaching the gospel. Telling people the truth. Just like fighting a battle. And he win the battle. Because he preached the truth in love. And I have finished the race. What does it mean by finish the race? When God tell him to go to the east, he go to the east. Go to the west, he go to the west. He finished the race. He obeys God's command. And I have fought the fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith until I die. I don't give up. And that kind of thing you should remind your children. Believing in Jesus is like fighting a battle. Believing in Jesus like running a race. Like running a marathon. You don't give up. In the final round, even though you have to walk to it, you have to finish it. You understand? Don't give up. When you give up, you'll be a loser. And you kept your faith. until the end. By doing so, you will receive a crown of righteousness. Now, there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Not now, on the day of judgment day. Not only to me giving the crown of righteousness, but also to all who have longed for his appearance. Make sure your children after you have the same kind of belief that we have to fight a good fight, finish the race, and keep the faith. You understand? Wesley, did you learn anything? You're not thinking about you dying, right? But do you remember what I'm saying? You think you will remember that when you are 90 years old? Will you be able to remember that? How? Unless what? How can you keep remembering that? I give you a trick, okay? Could you read it? James chapter 1 verse 25? That's the trick. James chapter 1 verse 25. James 1:25. Where are you reading?
But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not to believe what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed for what he does.
How can an old man like Jacob, how can an old man like James be able to remember that when he's old? What did he say in verse 25? Well, he didn't just say that. He only say the partial answer. You only give me the partial answer. Look intensely into the perfect law. And what else? How do you remember the computer game? You only play it once, you will remember it? Will you remember when you play it once? You have to play it daily? Will you remember? And what did he say? Read it one more time. Give me the answer. So how can I get the blessing? What's the first step? Secondly? That's it. Continue to do it daily. And it's come natural. You don't have to force yourself to remember. You look intensely daily, you got it. Right? When you remember that, then you pass it on to your children. Okay? When you remember that, you're going to do it. Did Jacob did it? He tell his children, right? He himself do it, right? He does it, and then he tell his children, do the same thing. Reminded his children, although you have a good time now, because under the umbrella, under the protection of Joseph. But we won't stay there for long. It is very difficult if you're in good time. You're living comfortably, you will forget God's promise. And Joseph followed his father's command. Right? Because his father asked his children to swear, you're not going to bury me in Egypt. You're going to swear to me that you're going to bury me in the promised land. That means you have to do it. You must do it. And that forces his children to remember God's word. It is very important. You know what? I don't care how much money you make, you cannot carry it with you in a coffin. And all this stuff, earthly stuff, of no eternal value. Only God's word lasts until eternity. Do you remember what Psalm 119:1-1-1 saying? What did the Bible say? Your statutes are my inheritance forever and ever. Isn't it? That's why I love them. God's word is more precious than silver and gold. More precious than any earthly treasure. You cannot redeem your soul, nor your life, nor your spirit by silver and gold. You can only redeem it through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is written in the Word of God. Read that to me. Psalm 119:1-1-1. Your statutes are my delight. Read that. They're the joy of my heart, right? My delight. So we should meditate on it day and night. And pass along to your children. Right? So that's why Israel, that's why Jewish people keep remember that. That land. Land in the Palestine. Land in the promised land belongs to them. Because God promised to Abraham. God promised to Isaac. And now God promised to Jacob. And Jacob passes to his 12 tribes. Remember that. And then they pass on to their children and the children after them. And that place belongs to them. That's why they bury there. Right? I tell you one thing. Take a look at Joshua chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 1 to 5. Joshua, could you read that? Loudly? Yeah, regarding the death of Moses. So what did Joshua learn from the promise that God gave it to Joshua now? Joshua used to be a Moses' aide. Now his teacher, his master, passed away. Now he carried the baton. He has to lead the people of Israel into the promised land. So what did he say? In verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now it's your job to lead God's people. Now then you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them. To the Israel, to the Israelite. Verse 3, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the Great River is the Euphrates River, now Iran place, where Abraham come from at that time, all the Hittite country to the Greek Sea on the west. The Greek Sea is the Mediterranean Sea. All the way from Iran to the Promised Land. That's the place that God promised to give to the Israelite. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, Emmanuel, so I will be with you, Emmanuel, and I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know, these kind of promises that God gave it to Joshua, is this more or less the same as God gave it to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Right? What do you learn from this passage? From Genesis and then to Joshua. Joshua was about to bring his people back to the Promised Land. Look at me. Isn't it God give it to Abraham, the promise? And then Isaac, and then Jacob, Moses, and now to Joshua. But do they have to fight the fight? Isn't it the people, the Canaanite, welcome them with open arm? Okay, come on in. I give you the place. I'm leaving. Do they have to fight the fight? Although God give you the promise that God be with you, no one can stand up against you all the days of your life. And God is powerful, and he still needs you to exercise your faith and fight the fight. And that's why Paul saying, I have fought the good fight. I have run the race, and I have kept the faith. When you receive God's promise, you still have to do it. You know one thing about Christian, they think, well, God promised me, and I will get it. And I become lazy. I sit tight and do nothing. You won't get it. You have to follow Paul. What did Paul say? Three things. Gabriel? Well, you missed one thing. Go and read that one more time. 4:7. Joshua, I want you to read it, okay? Make sure you write down 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7-8, or verse chapter 4, verse 6-8. You write it down right beside the death of Jacob. That will become a pattern for us. When we pass away, we let our children know. So we have to make sure that we long for his appearance. Now, Joshua, will you long for the final exam? Unless you're well prepared. You don't long for the second appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ unless you're well prepared for his second coming. Am I right? If you long for his appearance, his second coming, that means you're ready. Tell me, is anyone ready if the Lord Jesus Christ come back today? Are you ready to meet him? Could you please raise your hand? Any of your children ready? Donald, are you ready? You're not ready. Hey, now, let me tell you a story. Today, I went to Queenie went to the Sturgeon Hospital, and the doctor said, she cannot the doctor cannot deliver her baby in Sturgeon because they don't have the right equipment. It's early delivery. So Queenie has to transfer from Sturgeon to Royal Alex. So I went there and prayed for her, asked her not to worry. And one thing I learned today, what did I learn? The due date is supposed to be 6 weeks later. And lo and behold, the water is leaking. And now it's just about empty. So the baby has to come out. Otherwise we'll die, right? We know that. The doctor can calculate. Supposed to be 6 weeks later. But the baby can come earlier because of the leaking. Water coming out. We see what happened in the world. Based upon Matthew chapter 24, we know that Jesus Christ will come back anytime. Very soon. But she said to me, Queenie said to me, I don't realize it. The baby will come so quickly. And then I say to her, that's exactly what the Bible say. When Jesus Christ come back the second time, you know that he come back soon, but you don't know when he come back. You understand? She thought she has 6 more weeks to prepare for the baby to come out. Because the baby is only around 5 pounds. Eh? Not out. But it's still a long way because it's his first baby, eh? Now, when I go there and pray for her, and then the ambulance come, and take her to, Boy Alex. So probably tomorrow, or day after. But the story I'm telling you, I want you to go back to Matthew chapter 24. We do not know when we're going to die, nor do we know when were we born until the day come for you to be born, okay? From your mother womb. Before I read the Matthew chapter 24, I want to read to you Ecclesiastic chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. There is a time for everything. And a season for every activities under heaven. Verse 2. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant, a time to uproot. The doctor calculated that time to be born is 6 weeks later. And lo and behold, it's not going to be 6 weeks later. It's going to be any time. It depends. The readiness of the medical doctor. Because the Lord will move him, right? As to have a safe delivery, right? So go to Matthew chapter 24. A time for everything is also a time has been set when Jesus Christ is going to come back. Matthew chapter 24. Verse 4, Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceive you. Verse 5, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, the Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of war, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdoms against kingdom. Did you see people rise up against his own people? Do you see now Wall Street occupy? Toronto occupy? Vancouver occupy? You never seen that. The riot in Egypt, Syria, Libya. Do you remember that? That's exactly what happened. If you read the Bible, and you see that Nation will rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And people against his own people. And there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All this are the beginning of birth pains. When you see that woman has a birth pain, when it is so severe, the baby will come out. When you see all this thing happen, you know that Jesus Christ will come back anytime. And you think, it's 6 more weeks, but lo and behold, can be tomorrow. Gabriel, are you ready? You better prepare yourself. I don't want you to go through into the 7 years of tribulation. You'll be in deep, deep trouble. You better prepare. You know that the final exam is coming. You know you have to write the exam. You may as well prepare ahead of time. You understand that? When you see this kind of pain, nations against nation, kingdom against kingdom, people against his own people have riot all over the places. Not just in small places, now in throughout Canada, throughout US, throughout in Middle East. Right? In Africa, starting in Egypt, and then Libya, now Syria, Afghanistan, sooner or later we'll be in Iran. You will see. Brother and sister, what are you going to do? Make sure that you have what? You have the Holy Spirit within your heart. Make sure that you have been baptized. Make sure that you read the scripture and you pray to God and ask him to forgive all your sins. And make sure you serve God. You do not go and see Jesus Christ empty-handed. Can someone read to me Deuteronomy 16:16-7? What should we do when we see God face to face? 16:16-17. Deuteronomy. Jean, could you read it?
3 times a year, all your men must appear before the Lord your God at the place he will choose, at the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles. No man should appear before the Lord empty-handed. Each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord your God has blessed you.
What did he say in verse 6? In verse 16, at the end of verse 16, no man should appear before the Lord empty-handed when you go and worship God 3 times a year on earth. If that is the requirement, earthly requirement, what about the heavenly requirement? I want you to write beside 16:16-17, I want you to write down 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11. What did the Lord require of you? Second Peter, chapter 1, verse 11. You will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How can I receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our God? What should I do? Verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess this quality, this eight quality, from faith all the way to love, if you possess this quality in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing Jesus is not good enough. If you say that you know Jesus, you got to have an effective and productive ministry so that you bear fruit. You lead people to Christ. Make sure you don't see Jesus Christ empty-handed. Verse 9. But if anyone does not have them, does not have these eight attributes, eight quality, he is nearsighted. Nearsighted means he didn't know that. He will be judged in the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. He did not know that. God required him to come with fruit that you bear on earth. Nearsighted, that means you don't see that, what is far ahead, right? If anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sin. When you have been cleansed, I want you to write beside that, he has been cleansed from his past sin. And what does it mean by he has been cleansed for his past sin? In other words, when you are cleansed from your past sins, that means you should be able to bear fruit. You should be able to serve the living God. I want you to write it down. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. Chapter 9, verse 14. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through eternal spirit offer himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. Brother and sister, make sure that you realize that your past sins has been cleansed by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, and you should be able to serve God. When you serve God, you'll be able to bring people to Christ. When you bring people to Christ, you're not going to come to see Jesus Christ empty-handed. Hannah, what did I say? You know, from faith to goodness, from goodness to knowledge, from knowledge to self-control, self-control to perseverance, and then godliness, and then kindness, and then love. Is this a life-changing experience? When we believe in Jesus Christ and our life has been changed, when our life has been changed, that God can use us to lead people to Christ. Isn't it? Now a lot of people say, oh, believing in Jesus Christ is to have eternal life. No, believing in Jesus Christ is to have a life-changing experience so that your whole life has been changed. Not just have faith, from faith to love. Right? God is love. That means you act like Jesus Christ. Then God can use your life, your new life, to bring people to the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. And then you reproduce them and require them to be changed so they can lead more people to Christ too. And that's how we can receive a rich welcome into his kingdom. Our life has to be changed. Now let me ask you a question. Do you remember there's two robbers, one on the left, one on the right of Jesus Christ when Jesus Christ was hung on the cross? Did you see one of them? Life has been changed. Gabriel, did you see that? Tell me, what has been changed? From what to what? Oh man, that means you do not look intensely to the law, to the perfect law, the law that set you free. Now you are still under bondage. Hannah, tell him, okay? Yeah, but what happened before that, though? Josh? Oh, man. Before, both of them were mocking at Jesus. And later on, his life was changed. Now only one mocking at Jesus. The other say, we built the one that who mocked Jesus. We deserve to be punished like that. He has done nothing wrong. Jesus has done nothing wrong. He didn't deserve that. And ask Jesus to remember him when his kingdom comes. And Jesus Christ said, you'll be with me in paradise today. His life was changed. You understand? He has a good deed from mocking to believing. Instead of mocking Jesus, now he asks for Jesus for forgiveness. Asks for Jesus to save his soul. And then rebuke the other robbers. You understand that? That is life-changing experience. I want you to study that in two places, okay? One in Matthew, one in Luke. Find that places and see the changing. Brother and sister, when we believe in Jesus, don't just tell me you believe in Jesus if your life wasn't changed. If your life wasn't changed, you're not ready, you're not prepared to see Jesus. You know what? When I go to New York, there's a fellow called Ricky. Ricky, he loved Mercedes-Benz so much. He bought a Mercedes-Benz SUV. And when I met him a few years back, he polishing his car. He said, this is my baby. He loved it so much. And then this year, around Mother's Day, I met him. He has cancer. And doctors say he can only live for a short time. But he's still alive now. I asked him, do you want to repent and turn to God and believe in God? I asked him, if our Lord Jesus Christ do not heal you, you die in cancer bed, will you still believe in Jesus? I tell him the story about the robber that turned around. He said he wanted to follow that robber that turned around and believe in Jesus. Even though Jesus did not save that robber physically, right? That robber still died on the cross. Am I right? He still died on the cross. Or do you want to follow another robber? Keep on mocking Jesus. If you are the Messiah, you save yourself and save me. Then I believe in you. I asked Ricky, do you want to follow this? Then you go to hell. You follow another robber, even you don't save me. But when your kingdom comes, remember me. And you will be saved. He said he wanted to follow another robber. That means that robber, that repentant, has a good life. That changing Ricky. You understand? Just having faith is not good enough. Prove to me your faith is genuine. By good deed, goodness. Some people say, well, you want me to believe in Jesus? You give me a job. If I don't get a job, I don't believe in Jesus. Oh, now I'm sick. I'm dying of cancer. If you heal me, then I believe. You don't heal me, I don't believe. You're not really believing in Jesus. Because there's a time for everything. Time to live and time to die. If that time was set, it will not be changed. You understand? Do you understand? There's only one Hezekiah. Because he's a righteous God. He's a righteous king. King of Judah. When the prophet Isaiah saying to him, prepare yourself, you're going to die. He cried. He facing the wall and cried. And cried out to God. And asked God to extend his life. God said, I give him 15 more years. There's only one people like that. You understand? One in what? 10 billions, right? There's exception. A lot of people, like James, in Acts chapter 12, he's one of the 12 apostles. He died in the hand of King Herod. He was persecuted, and he suffered, and he died for Jesus. And he still believed in Jesus. You understand? Doesn't mean that when you believe in Jesus and Jesus loves you, then he automatically extend your life. No. When the time to come, the time to come. Jacob has to go. Isaac has to go. Abraham has to go, right? Moses has to go. Who do you think you are? Even Jesus has to go on the day of Passover. Right? Turn to Matthew 27. Could you read it to me? Gabriel 41 all the way to 44. In the same way, verse 44, in the same way the robbers, is singular or plural? That means both of them. Because there's only two robbers, one on the left, one on the right? The robbers who were crucified with him also heap insult on him. And then I want you to turn to Luke chapter 23. What is the life-changing experience? Verse 39. Luke chapter 23, verse 39, all the way to 43. Read that. That means the verse 39, he refused to be changed. Never repent. Verse 40. I want you to write down in verse 40, the other criminal. You write down Matthew chapter 27, verse 44. At first, both criminals, both robbers, heap insult on Jesus. But now, but the other criminal rebuilt him. Not rebuilt Jesus, rebuilt the other criminal. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence. Verse 41. He said, this man has done nothing wrong. He come to senses now. His life has been changed. Just like a prodigal son. He was once dead, now he's alive. He see it clearly now. He come to his senses. Just like the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. He is the prodigal son. He come back. He's alive now. Verse 42. I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. Is he saved? Did he have any good deed? He has no good deed? What do you mean he has no good deed? He'll have a very good example. I can use this example to save Ricky. What are you talking about? Did he not have goodness? He has goodness, right? He has action. He's still suffering. The Lord hasn't saved him. He still died on the cross. But he turned around and come to senses and knowing that Jesus is good God. And then he also believed that. Take a look. You know what the Pharisees say? If you are beloved son, ask God to save you. If God did not save you on the cross, then means God did not love you. He did not believe that kind of nonsense. He know that. Could you read Isaiah 53 verse 10? Isaiah 53 verse 10. So stop here. It was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. They don't know that. But the robber know that. The other criminal know that. You understand? If you do not have the word of God high within your heart, then you are not prepared to see Jesus, Gabriel. So what should you do? It's very dangerous. If you die today, then it's very dangerous, right? You better start preparing for the final exam, right? Hiring God's word within your heart and know what to do at a very dangerous moment. You know what? All he hear is insult upon Jesus, right? But he didn't believe in all that, okay? He believed in the word of God. It is the Lord's will to crush Jesus. Because he died for our sins. And he asked him to remember him. That is exactly what Moses said. Psalm 90 verse 17. May the beauty of the Lord rest upon me. May you establish the work of my hand. Yes, establish the work of my hand. Remember me, that means remember what I have done for you. He witnessed for Jesus Christ at the end of his life. Do you know that? Do you know that? Do you know that Jacob witnessed for God's word at the end of his life? Do you know that? Do you see the picture that I'm painting in front of you? Is he the descendant of Jacob? He is. He know what to do at the end of his life. He turned around and say, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Because he know that Jesus Christ will come back the second time. We only live on earth for a temporary moment. We will go back to the new place. New heaven and new earth. Am I right, Hannah? The other criminal has good deed. He say the right thing, right? At the end, right? Joyce, what have you learned? I finish here. Tell me what have you learned. Well, just tell me what is in your head. What 7-8 saying? Three things.
Finish the race, fight the good fight, keep the faith, and to long for the coming of Christ, and you'll receive a crown of righteousness.
He also saying one thing that we have to stress on that. He got that crown of righteousness. He said, not only to me. God not only awarded to me, award to all, including you, he hear that, as long as you long for his second coming. You know what? Hannah, look at me. Did that other criminal long for his second coming? When you come into your kingdom, remember me. He remembered God's word. Right? Right. Isn't it good stuff? What else have you learned? How do we prepare?
So, first of all, we have to study his word intently and to not only remember his word, but also to continue to do it.
How can I remember God's word?
By memorizing it and down to according to it.
Not just memorizing. You know, I asked Joshua to memorize Psalm 119. Probably he 99.9% forgotten already. Why? Because we don't continuously to read it. We lost it. Right? We have to do it daily, right? Wow, that's good now. You guys be good. What else?
And we can't come before Christ empty-handed, as said in Deuteronomy chapter 16, 16 to 17. So we have to come before him bearing fruit. And to bear fruit, we have to change our life. And to change our life, we need to help. So we have to do the eight things as said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 7.
So I want you to pray for her. I want her to be a pastor. All right? All right? You want to do the same, Joshua? When are you going to graduate? I will start training Joyce next year when she graduates. Okay? So we pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray you help us every time as we study your word. We know the essence. We know the importance of your word. And remember that. And then we put it into practice. I know that whatever we have done, even though we've done it wrong, as long as we turn around and repent, and do the right thing, and you will remember us. I pray that you help us to study your word, to look into your law intensely and continuously to do so that we won't forget it. If we don't forget it, we'll put it into practice because we know the consequences of not doing it. We also know the result of doing it. We know the reward is so rich that we will be encouraged to do so. By doing so, we'll be richly blessed. Lord, I pray that you help each and every one of our children to remember your word and put it into practice so that we prepare ourselves to see you face to face. And so that we will be welcome wish thee welcome into your kingdom. And help us in the meantime to bear fruit for our Lord Jesus. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.